Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Strong Christian Female Podcast. I'm your host, Charity, and this is a community of women who want to be warriors for Jesus Christ. We are kicking off the desire to be comfortable and embracing a wholehearted abandonment to Him alone, not through legalism, not through works, but through His grace and mercy. We're going to overcome the lies of this culture and replace them with the eternal truth of God's Word. So, whether you're a student, a stay-at-home mom, a grandma, an entrepreneur, whether you're new to the walk of Christianity, or a veteran spiritual warrior, you are welcome here. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Strong Christian Female Podcast. And yes, I am Charity, and I'm back from a hiatus. A bit of an unexpected hiatus, mind you, but I'm back and I'm excited because our community that's growing, and I want to honor the fact that some of you have been with me since the beginning. Some of you have discovered this podcast and gone back in time and re-listened to some. And I am excited to talk about so many things that are happening in our culture, but it's the bigger spiritual picture we talk about. We can cherry pick specific things to talk about in culture, but I think so many other people do that so well. I want to talk about the bigger picture, the spiritual issues, the heart issues, because so much of what we see happening in culture is a heart issue, is a submission issue, is an issue that has to do with who we are letting influence us that doesn't necessarily represent the kingdom of God, which is what we are called to be a part of. So on that note, today we are talking about submission. Da, 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 da. And if you have tuned in wondering if it's about submission in marriage, it is not. It is not. We can talk about that another day, another topic that's always important. But we're actually just talking about submission of our heart to the Lord, because that is something so unbelievably absent, even in the church, at least the church in the United States and parts of Europe that I've seen, certainly around the globe in other ways. So just know, I'm not picking on any one. I am picking on the culture we've allowed in the church. And many of us don't recognize that that culture is actually one that is not of God, because we've been raised in churches that are not bold enough to preach the living, actual gospel of Jesus Christ. We have decided it's better to teach a version that is a hybrid of our culture, influencing how we read the gospel, rather than reading the gospel in context of what it was meant to be, and then turning and looking at our culture based on the lens of the gospel. That's what we do here. And we want to just let you know that everyone is welcome here. And Christ died on the cross for every single person. So we are not an exclusive club, but we are people who talk about the kingdom culture of God based on the true gospel, not anybody's system, not seven steps to do this, not anybody's little how you come to know Jesus through this weird little hieroglyphic, fine, choose your own adventure. Okay, we don't do that here. We read the gospel, we read the words of Jesus. We often add apologetics to it, meaning like we try to explain maybe the history of what was going on when we can. But I need you to understand that if you're following Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He is going to bring the Word of God to life for you on your couch while you're reading the Bible. You don't need any sort of special seminary degree to know the Holy Spirit. Seminary can be wonderful. It can be great. I am a huge fan of apologetics. I'm actually going through a ton of apologetics systems right now that I'm going to be teaching kids next year. But you need to understand that Christ chose people who were not the hyper-educated ones for a reason. And that's because Jesus Christ is available to everyone. And sometimes, as you'll see, the more head knowledge we have, the more we limit God to our mind, and we ignore our soul and our spirit, and that can be really dangerous. So without going off on that tangent, we aren't. Let's dive into the idea of biblical submission, which is all throughout the Word of God from Old Testament to New Testament. Okay, so first of all, I really want to dive into Scripture. Scripture is the basis of everything we do here. It is something that is obviously imperative to us, and we're going to start in Romans. Now, Romans is a letter, of course, that Paul wrote to the Romans. And if you know anything about the Roman culture at that time, it was full of debauchery. It was, I mean, this was the time of the gladiators. This was the time people like putting infants on the sides of mountains because they decided they didn't want them for the birds to eat. I mean, this was an insanely debaucherous culture. It obviously had many, many gods that they served. I mean, it is not a place unlike a lot of modern cities right now. And we go under a light with a scalpel and we knock the woman out. But our cities are full of people who support baby murder. There's no way around it. Our cities are full of people who do unbelievably debaucherous things for self-gratification, or if they really are honest about it, for the glory of something that is very much debaucherous. And I think they would even acknowledge that if you broke the terms down into what it is they do. So even though I recognize that we think of Roman times as something that is so insane compared to what's going on today, it's really not. We just have often a more sterile presentation initially of it so that people will listen to the sterilization of what's happening. And it's like debauchery in a sterile environment is still debauchery. And that's what a lot of cities will do. They will justify it. I've had Christians, people who claim to be Christians, completely justify the most debaucherous things in our culture because they are able to create this cerebral justification. But we have to remember, like I said, God is not just the God of our mind. He says we are to submit our mind, body, and spirit, and soul. So when people do not submit anything but their mind, they will get into trouble. When they don't submit anything but their soul, they will get into trouble. I'm not, again, wanting to judge anyone's salvation, but you will start to accept things, justify things based on how you feel or how you think. And those are two very dangerous things. So when we talk about submission, we're talking about biblical submission, which is to submit your heart, your soul, your mind to the Lord. Okay, we're going to dive into Romans 8, 5 through 11, and we're going to go through the text, then we'll talk briefly about it, and then we're going to have another chunk of text. So get ready. If you've got your Bible, follow along. If you're in the car, if you're washing dishes, just listen. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the things of the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. All right, this is talking about our spirit. Each of us has a spirit. We will go to heaven, or we will be forever separated from God when we die by our choices. So we will never know God for eternity if we do not submit our flesh to him. People who live in the flesh, and ladies, I'm going to get very, very honest here. Many of us have nickel and dimed our way into not submitting our flesh to the Lord. Now, I don't mean you have to be a hyper vigilant CrossFit competitor, and that means submitting their flesh to the Lord. What I mean is you submit your will, your desires, your cravings, your instincts to Jesus Christ. We no longer instinctually live in the flesh. We don't grab things from the kitchen because we're walking by, because we have an impulsive response, says the girl who used to be an impulsive eater. We no longer submit our habits to our flesh and say, it's fine, it makes me feel good. We can fill in all the blanks. And I'm sorry, guys, we've justified a lot of sin in our life because we seek, quote, happiness, and we have ignored joy. Joy is something that is the fruit of the Spirit. happiness is, number one, ever elusive, but it comes from the desire of flesh. That's another podcast. Stay tuned. But when we submit our spirit to God, we are submitting our flesh as well. And the God that raised Jesus from the dead can surely raise up our spirit man so that we do not fight off the flesh in a way that is constantly feeling defeatists. We shouldn't feel constantly defeated by our flesh. So that is how to set this whole thing up. Spirit versus flesh. We submit our flesh to God. Now, another thing we need to recognize is that in God's kingdom, submission is not evaluated by the standards of our earthly cultures. Let me say that one again. In God's kingdom, submission is not meant to be evaluated by the standards of our earthly culture. She says, hallelujah, in the back seat, right? Come on. That's the truth of it. Whatever culture we've assigned our comfort zone to should never, ever, ever define God's culture for us, because it's a lie. It's a sham. It's such a hollowed out, cheap version of what God wants for us. And I say that meaning this. Let's talk about church culture. Look, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. But we have brought so much of the world into the church, it's embarrassing. We don't even want to be set apart in how we dress, much less what we eat, how we talk, what we watch, what books we read, what media we take in, how we treat our children, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our parents, how we treat our pets. Some of us idolize our pets too much. We should love our pets. Get them off the pedestal. They're just a pet. Now, I need you to hear what I'm saying when I say this. We in the church have sinned against God by allowing whatever culture we live into to justify or reflect how we feel about the gospel rather than the opposite. So in that idea, we have taken then the ideas of discipleship, discipline, and submission, and we have tweaked them to fit what we feel our culture would accept. But we are not meant to ever be accepted by our culture. Christ was rejected. We will be rejected. Even if we keep our mouth shut and live a life of glory unto the Lord, our life will still submit itself to God, and we will still reflect Jesus Christ. And when we reflect Jesus Christ, people will still reject us. Your kids will experience immense rejection because they want to follow Jesus, and they're not going to fit in, sometimes even in their youth group, because they're not going to dress how it's allowed to be now. You guys, holy cow, youth leaders, I encourage you to set a standard of Christ's kingdom. I understand we don't want to condemn, but being silent hasn't worked either. We are so afraid of condemning people. Oh gosh, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so I just don't want to say anything, because Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus changed every life he engaged with. Are you changing every life you engaged with? I am learning pretty full force that the lack of covenant with God, the lack of walking into a room, like Peter's shadow hit people and they were healed. If you're living that sort of life, I'll listen to what you have to say. But I have a hard time believing that when you are submitted to the Lord and you go where he tells you to go and you say what he tells you to say and you do what he tells you to do, that lives aren't impacted significantly. And when that happens, people will probably start to put clothes on that they should have had on from the beginning. Not because they are ashamed, but because they're convicted. They're going to stop talking certain ways. They're going to stop drinking and eating certain things. They're going to stop treating people the same way because we've submitted our lives to Jesus. But rejection will come because of that, because the enemy hates a yielded life. So I want to read a big chunk here. So it's Colossians 2:8-3:17. It is so good. And sometimes, guys, you got to go to the deep end of the pool and stay there a little bit to really know what's going on. So Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were raised in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Quote, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to the human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity of the body, but they are of no value in shopping the indulgences of the flesh. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. All right, Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly to you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against the other, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wow, that's a lot. It says, do not submit to the things of your culture. The whole point of this passage is talking about what the fruit of submission looks like and what the fruit of not submitting looks like. When you spend your time doing things that this says that is earthly in you, like sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, jealousy, covetousness, want something you don't have. The biggest covetousness right now being shoved in our faces is the covetousness of body parts. I will not go into a lot of detail about that. Hopefully you know what I'm getting at. We covet other people's body parts and we want to change ours to fit. Hello, that's literally one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. I get it. We can become weirdos and like, oh my gosh, if I dye my hair, am I coveting someone who has brown hair and I have gray hair? Okay, listen, let the Lord deal with that. And I mean it. Submit everything unto the Lord. Job even talks about that he will submit everything unto the Lord. But here's where we're at in our culture, in the church. We want to submit nothing to the Lord. We want to withhold our own earthly standards. And again, in God's kingdom, submission is not evaluated by the standards of our earthly culture. But we keep moving the goalpost because we have left the gospel behind. And we have added so many ingredients to that very simple stew that we no longer have what God gave us to partake in. It's a totally different thing. And we'll justify it. We'll justify it because you hear some pep talk somewhere. Or we're like, well, they say they're a Christian and they do that. Guys, the bottom line is this. You know Jesus Christ personally. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Our neighbors are not the Holy Spirit. We are not the Holy Spirit. Our pastor is not the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, he is following Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is who leads and guides us. He's the one who convicts us. He's the one who brings enlightenment to the Word of God when we read it. It is not our job to do the Holy Spirit's job. It is also not your pastor's job. We must know the Holy Spirit so he can do his job in us and change us. The problem with not submitting is that it is a slow road to not being saved when you do not submit to the Lord. C.S. Lewis has a fantastic quote in the Screwtape Letters, and it says, "It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." You guys, there is nothing truer in our current church culture than a gradual road away from the gospel. James 4, 4 through 10 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity to God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it has no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you." We must have a repentant heart in order to be submissive to the Lord. And until we see what we need to repent of, again, the Holy Spirit's conviction entering into us, we will never be pliable before God. But if God truly knows your heart and he knows you want to follow him, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to yield to the Holy Spirit and submit yourself and repent. Or if you truly want to follow God and you're just doing it all wrong, he will strip out everything in your life that you have put as an idol on a pedestal and you have put in front of him. And I'm telling you, it is ugly because it happened to me. So my strong suggestion is you go to the Lord and say, "Lord, you show me where I'm not letting you in. You show me where my opinion matters more than yours. You show me where I have allowed a sinful culture to seep into my walk with you. You show me where either my pride and arrogance or my ignorance has kept me from entering into the fullness that you want me. You show me, Jesus, because I want a pliable heart and I want to impact this world and be a catalyst for you and your Holy Spirit." Our lives should be one that reflects discipline and submission. In what we wear, how we talk, what we watch, what we eat, that's exactly what the gospel's talking about in Colossians and Romans. So what's holding us back? Is it our pride? Is it our ignorance? Is it our pain? Is it our stubbornness? Is it the lies of others, the lies of the enemy, the lies of the culture that if we're really honest with ourselves, we have gone along with because it's either easier or makes us feel more accepted or gives into our flesh so that we can keep doing the things we know we're not supposed to do? Whatever it is, friends, we have to submit that to the Lord and be honest. Do you think he doesn't know we're just not submitting to him? He knows. But it's time we acknowledge it. So in Job 5:8, if you've never read Job, whoa, it is so imperative to today, in my opinion. "As for me, I would seek God, and to God would I commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noonday as in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword of their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor have hope and injustice shuts her mouth. You guys, you want to honor a God that shuts the mouth of injustice, that takes care of the needy, that pulls your own sword away from you and the sword of those trying to harm you so that you do not get harmed, that corrects you in your own earthly wisdom and sets you straight. Because God is the God of rain and earth and sun and stars and universe and people and creation and life. And it's time we honor him for what he did, which was send his son to die on a cross so that we may live for eternity in heaven. You guys, this life feels very long sometimes. But when it's over, you will see that eternity is forever. We're already living in eternity. So are we living in the kingdom of God by its principles? Or are we living in the kingdom of a man-made, humanistic, Satan-surrounded, demonically influenced world? We don't want to be tainted simply to be accepted. We don't want to be tainted simply to basically get high on our own addictions. And that addictions could be your cell phone. We do not want to not submit our lives to the Lord and be at the very least lazy in what our effect is supposed to be unto him on this earth. And at the very most, like C.S. Lewis is talking about in Screwtape Letters, on our way to hell. We must submit our lives to the Lord. And it's hard because it's going, the more you see your life be submitted to Christ, the more you're going to see others not. And we will talk about judgment another day, but it's real hard not to get real bitter real quick at your Christian friends who aren't willing to live a submissive life. And you're going to lose some friends because when you see the influence they start having on you and your kids and how it is not of the kingdom of God, again, we're not judging their salvation, but if their influence is harmful to you, It's like a recovered alcoholic going out with a bunch of alcoholics. What are you doing? It can feel real lonely, but you are not alone. And you aren't crazy to want to follow Jesus with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength, because that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. So without condemnation, I want you to hear this last piece. Give him everything. Give him your opinions. Give him your fashion statement. Give him your shows. Give him your food. Give him your cell phone usage. Give him how you talk to your kids. Give him what pedestal you have in your house and what's on it. Give him your marriage. Give him everything. Ask him what he wants you to do and let him guide you, because the adventure he intends you to live is far more satisfying, exciting, and peaceful than any false folklore version of life you hope to live based on your Instagram feed. So Jesus, I just pray that these women and these men, as we go out today, we seek your face in all we do. And we say, Abba, we are sorry for trying to do it our way. We are sorry. Forgive us. What is your way? Teach us your ways. We humble ourselves. In Jesus's name, amen. Ladies, be encouraged. I'm fired up in a room by myself. I'm going to go start my day. And just know you aren't alone. If you have any questions, please reach out. StrongChristianFemale@protonmail.com. You can also reach me at my not-for-profit, which is charity@americaunchained.org. See you soon.